नवद्वीप धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा मैया जमुना मैया की भक्ति देवी तुलसी महारानी की समवेद गौर भक्त वृंद की निताई गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यां नरम चैव नरोत्तमाम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासाम् ततो जायामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिरभवति नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Text 47. The chapter is entitled The Prayers of Queen Kunti. Aha Raja, Dharma, Sutas, Chintayan, Shuridam, Vadam, Prakriti Atmana, Vipra, Sneha, Moha, Vasam, Gataha. Aharaja Dharma Sutas, Chintayan Shridam Vadam, Prakritena Atmana Vipra, Sneha Moha Vasam Gata. Aha Raja Dharma Sutas, Chintayan Suridam Vadam, Prakritena Atmana Vipra, Sneha Moha Vasam Gata. Aha Raja Dharma Sutam, Aharaja Dharma Sutas, Chintayan Suridham Vadam, Prakritena Atmana Vipra, Sneha Moha Vasam Gata. Matajis. Aha said, Raja, King Yudhishthir, Dharma Sutaha, the son of Dharma, Yamraj, Chintayan, thinking of, Suridam, of the friends, Vadham, killing, Prakritena, by material conception only, Atmana, by the self, Vipra, O Brahmana, Sneha, affection, Moha, delusion, Vasam, being carried away by, Gataha, having gone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation, King Yudhishthir, son of Dharma, overwhelmed by the death of his friends, was aggrieved just like a common materialistic man. O sages, thus deluded by affection, he began to speak. Purport, King Yudhishthir, though he was not expected to become aggrieved like a common man, became deluded by worldly affection by the will of the Lord, just as Arjun was apparently deluded. A man who sees knows well that the living entity is neither the body nor the mind, but is transcendental to the material conception of life. The common man thinks of violence and non-violence in terms of the body, but that is a kind of delusion. Everyone is duty-bound according to one's occupational duties. A Kshatriya is bound to fight for the right cause, regardless of opposite party. In such discharge of duty, one should not be disturbed by annihilation of the material body, which is only an external dress of the living soul. All this was perfectly known to Maharaj Yudhishthir, but by the will of the Lord, he became just like a common man, because there was another great idea behind this delusion. The king would be instructed by Bhishma as Arjun was instructed by the Lord himself.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jayasi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Krishna. So we are reading from the chapter which is entitled Prayers of Queen Kunti. And in the last 45 verses of this chapter, the beautiful, one of the crest jewel prayers of the Bhagavatam in the form of the prayers of Queen Kunti have already been covered. The prayers of Queen Kunti are one of the most beautiful and worth meditating upon prayers in the Bhagavatam. In fact, it is one of the favorite prayers of Srila Prabhupada, that he wrote a separate book, Prayers of Queen Kunti. And now this part, from verse number 45 till 52, seven verses, it's sort of a second part of the chapter, wherein another great Pandava, in the form of King Yudhishthir, is expressing his heart, his emotions, his overwhelming situation. It is explained here very clearly that King Yudhishthir was overwhelmed. So, what exactly happened? Why should King Yudhishthir, even after winning the war, usually we become bewildered when things don't exactly happen the way we want. We become disturbed, bewildered. When we don't get the right result the way we want, people don't behave in the way that we think they should behave. It causes bewilderment, it causes overwhelming to the extent that particular situation, to what degree we are getting disturbed by. But here Yudhishthir Maharaj was victorious. He was from the winning camp. Why should he be bewildered? And why is it found important for Shukadeva Goswami to mention his bewilderment? Everything that is mentioned in the Bhagavatam is very, very important, because it was a time-bound project. Right? It was a project of 7 days. So obviously when you are time-bound, all of us have done time-bound projects, including a simple dedicated mothers at home. They also have a time-bound project. They have to cook before 9. The dabba wala will come and take the dabba. So it's a time-bound project. Similarly, we all in our professional lives, we have done time-bound projects. So obviously, when you are doing something time-bound, you don't waste your time in something which is not important. You are absolutely focused on doing only that thing which is really important and which is relevant to the project's outcome. So why is it that it is mentioned that Yudhishthir Maharaj is bewildered? It's a very important part. It basically shows, my dear friends, that in spite of the fact that you can be the king of the world, where Yudhishthir Maharaj is going to be coronated as the king of the world, he performed the Rajasuya Yagya. How powerful he must be that all the kings, when the Rajasuya Yagya is performed, that means all the kings, they accept the subservientship of that king. So Yudhishthir Maharaj was Samrat. He was not just a king. He was Samrat Yudhishthir. But even a great Samrat, and not only a Samrat from the point of view of expert in fighting battles, but an extremely deep, profound, elevated, advanced devotee of the Lord. Because there have been so many expert fighters of wars, and they have really been emperors. But they are not necessarily as great as Maharaj Yudhishthir, because his greatness was not only in his expertise in warfare and managing a warfare, but his expertise is being a very deep, dedicated, sold out devotee of the Lord. So in spite of having all this great, what is called, accolades to your credit, is that the right word, Vishwanu Prabhuji? To have such high level of being a Samrat, and still he is bewildered, and he is exposing, he is openly admitting his bewilderment. Now it takes great humility. Please understand it, just analyze it. If you are the king of the world, and you come, it's not somebody has noticed that you are bewildered, you are confused. He himself is coming and said, Krishna, please don't go. As we've seen the verses, Krishna, please don't go. I need you. I'm in extreme, confused, overwhelmed situation of life. Very humane. Bhagavatam is very humane. Even though it talks about the supreme glory, it is the highest scripture. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumartuma were the five things that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned. That Krishna being the supreme as the son of Nanda Maharaj, Vrindavan being the supreme holy dham, the gopis being the supreme devotees. The greatest thing that we want to achieve is pure unalloyed love of God, Prema Pumartuma. And the fifth thing that he mentioned, the fourth in the verse, the fifth thing he mentioned is this aspect. So Yudhishthir Maharaj is very clearly showing his humaneness. That yes, I'm bewildered. I need your help, Krishna. And that's what this verse is about. So it is said, the verse is Sneha Moha Vasam Gataha. That he was deluded by Sneha and Moha. Delusion arising from attachment. Verse says. So one thing that we must all understand is that while we are all practicing Krishna consciousness, we are all trying to be devotees of the Lord, that one thing that we all have to deal with is emotions. Yes? Can we say that Krishna consciousness makes us emotionless? Is that the aim? Anybody? Is our aim to become having no emotions? To become so tough, so become so strong, so become so dedicated that I have no emotions? No. That is not the aim of life, to have no emotions. We have emotions. And Krishna consciousness, an integral part of Krishna consciousness, I will not say that is Krishna consciousness, but an integral part of Krishna consciousness is art of managing your emotions. How well you manage your emotions, because emotions are there. And you know, you can feel them. I mean, it's not that it's something quantifiable. But you are experiencing them every second. Yes, do we experience emotions every second? Yes or no? Little louder, please.
Yes.
Because the morning time, very cold, the tendency is to become very snuggy and go do something which you are not supposed to do. Yeah? So we are definitely, we know that the emotions are there and we have to deal with them. So spiritual life, my dear friends, let us all be very honest, is not about, burying those emotions. Okay, first thing you realize, the emotions are there. Now what do we do with them? Is spiritual life about just burying those emotions, that, just put it below the rug and let it not be seen? What we do, right, usually when you don't want to show something, you just put it below the rug, put it in the cupboard, right? Somebody comes to your house. There's one sannyasi, very senior sannyasi, very senior devotee, Prabhupada's disciple. He visits, he goes to devotees' houses when they call him. And obviously the idea is that when Grihasthas, many of us are Grihasthas here. So when somebody comes to the house, we want the house to be spick and span, right? So one way is that, we really keep it spick and span. But one way is to really put all the things into places where it is not seen. Yes? Do you do that? Huh? So that you take everything and put it, dump into a cupboard and just push the cupboard and lock it. Got inside. Yeah. So then you take all unwanted things so that it looks very nice and good. So you just take it and put it in, just hash it in, and lock the door. The clean. So I went to one devotee's house and he was mentioning about this particular sannyasi who comes, and this sannyasi, he knows the real nature. So he goes straight and he opens the cupboard of devotee's house. And boom, everything just... Yeah. And the idea is not to just find fault. The idea is that how sometimes we tend to be very duplicious. And this is a very innocent way of... nothing wrong in it. Please continue doing it if you are doing it. But the idea is that we're trying to just not show it is there, right? That idea is what? To not show it is there. It is there. There's so much of tons of things which is useless is there in my house. I'm dumping it in so that you don't see it. But when you go out, I'll again remove it and it's all over. So the idea is that we are, these emotions are not something that you just put it below the rug or put it below the carpet and say, well, it is not there. Everything is fine. Because if you do that, it is going to come with renewed vengeance. That emotions, the upsurge of those emotions, whatever those emotions are, they're going to come with renewed. So it is all about dealing with those emotions. The word is to be able to deal with it. You cannot just ignore it. You have to deal with it. And the first and important thing to deal with a particular emotion is to actually know what the emotion is all about. Sometimes we don't even know. So a very, very important aspect of really working on emotion, for that matter, working on anything, is to actually know what you are doing, right? That's why when you join a job, you get a clear-cut job description. This is your job. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You have to do this. So you are clear. If you just join a job, you just enter the office and you do whatever you want. So what do you mean do whatever you want? How are you going to judge me on what I'm doing? How am I going to get my promotion? How am I going to get my appraisal? So you need to be having clear cut. So similarly, my dear friends, it's very important to really understand what is the emotion that we are dealing with. Most of the time, we all are dealing with emotion. It's across. Everyone is dealing with emotion. But many, many times, we experience ourselves, and in my discussion with my friends, we understand that we don't even know what are we really dealing with. If you don't know what you're dealing with, if you can't really name it, you can't really point it out, you don't know how to deal with it, right? So let's do a small exercise. Okay, Yudhishthir Maharaj, we all understand that, you know, it is said that his friends were all killed, and he feels responsible for this, and he is overwhelmed by some emotion. He is overwhelmed by some emotion. Now, what is this emotion? You can say that he's sad. But, you know, sadness is, so many times we can't identify. We just see in generally, I'm very happy. Adabai, why are you happy? What sort of happiness is on? So that is why, my dear friends, we have to understand something what is called to pinpoint the emotion. And that's an important science. And we are not going to get into that details about that, but there's something what is called the wheel of emotion. It looks something like this. Yeah. If you just Google it, you will find it. So in this wheel of emotion, it just helps us to really identify what exactly are the emotions. So let's take this case study of Yudhishthir Maharaj's situation. He is obviously sad. So in the sadness, they have subdivided this emotion. So first emotion is sadness. So there are basically 6 general categories of emotions. Okay, one is fearful, angry, disgusted, sad, happy, surprise, and bad. Sorry, 7. So this is general. What do you feel? I feel very angry. So that's one, the anger. But in anger, if you want to really understand what exactly, so anger, are you feeling let down? See, anger can be caused because of being let down. Being humiliated is 2 different things, right? Then to be bitter, to be mad, to be aggressive, to be frustrated, to be distanced, to be critical. These are all subcategories of anger. Are you all with me? Right. So anger can be caused by so many of the subcategories. So let's take the example with this here so that we understand very clearly. So we're talking about sadness. So obviously, of all the 3, of all the 7, we understand that he is suffering from sadness. He's not fearful. Is he fearful? He's not fearful. Is he angry? Is he disgusted? He is sad. Okay. So in sadness, there is other categories.
What is the categories? Is hurt, depressed, guilty, despair, vulnerable and lonely. Please understand, this all are going to cause you sadness. Am I right? Yes? I'll repeat for you. Hurt. If you are hurt, you feel sad. Somebody hurts you, you feel sad. Depressed. Guilty. Despair. Vulnerable and lonely. This all leads to sadness. But further, when you talk about being hurt, which is a subcategory of sadness, the hurt can be further subdivided into being embarrassed and disappointed. Are you getting it? So what is Yudhishthira Maharaj? He is experiencing what we call grief, powerlessness, ashamed and remorseful. Am I right? Is this what Yudhishthira Maharaj is experiencing? Let's identify the emotion, please understand. The emotion that our Yudhishthira Maharaj is suffering from is he's remorseful, he's ashamed, is grief stricken. So he's experiencing this grief in his life. He's experiencing remorse that why does this happen? So that's a small point that before we talk about even emotion management or dealing with this emotion, as we talked, we need to deal with them, but we need to know what is emotion. If we don't even know what is emotion, I'm sad. Are you sad? What is the cause of your sadness? What is it? Then you go into the what we call root analysis. And then we find that yes, the real of cause of my sadness is because I've been hurt by somebody. I've been insulted by somebody. And that's why I'm angry. Because anger can be for so many reasons. Right? If somebody didn't, if things didn't happen the way you want, you can be angry. But if somebody doesn't behave the way you want, you can be angry. So many reasons. So these are the emotions. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is experiencing emptiness, inferiorism, ashamed, powerlessness and guilt in his life. A very great personality like Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is here taking the responsibility of the death of all these people. That, you know, it is I am the cause. All these people, all these ladies who have become widows, all these children who don't have their father, and all the people who have died. The number is humongous. The number of people who died in the battlefield of Kurukshetra is humongous. I had a number, I forgot it. There is a clear number at 65 something? 64 crores, yes. 64 crore people died. You know, just imagine. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, in one sense, from one perspective, he was right. That he felt that he was the cause of 64 crore people dying. Can you imagine the amount of guilt, the amount of remorse, the amount of responsibility that he must be feeling? Please understand, when you understanding reading Bhagavatam, let's not read it in a way which is just like a parrot. Let's get into the character of the person that we're discussing, what he or she is going through. When Kunti Maharaj is praying, if you understand what is she going through and why is she praying the way she's praying, you will be able to understand this much better, much deeper, much profoundly. Similarly, Yudhishthira Maharaj, 64 crore people. That's like, if to give you analysis, is almost like one third or little more than one third of Indian population. Am I right? Oh, sorry, half. It's 1.5 crores we are, right? Whatever it is. But half of Indian population, that's huge. If imagine you become the cause of half of Indian population dying, what will you feel? So Yudhishthira Maharaj suddenly dawned upon, see, this emotion just comes, there's upsurge of it. You know, you do something and then suddenly you start experiencing, oh my God, why did I do it? What did make me do this? So Yudhishthira Maharaj suddenly at this point in time, everything is, he's winning, everything is fine, he's going to be coronated, and this emotion, it's difficult. You can go paranoid, you can be crazy. So Yudhishthira Maharaj is experiencing that I am the cause of 64 crore people dying. Are you able to empathize with what he is going through? Yes? Yes? Yes. So that's what Yudhishthira Maharaj is going through. He is feeling responsible. And from one perspective, as I said, it is in one sense, it is right. But the real, if you see as we go further, Bhishma Dev instructs him in the next chapter. I'll just mention to you because it's so beautiful to just go in a chronological order as the Bhagavatam is going. But Yudhishthira Maharaj directly addresses that point that you are not the cause of people dying. Just as Krishna addressed to Arjuna that you are not the cause. You are simply an instrument of something that I want to use you as an instrument to establish the principle of dharma. So you become an instrument, and similarly Bhishma Dev, and that was the whole purpose. 2 days back, Brij Bihari Prabhu gave a beautiful class. And he was mentioning that can Krishna not do something? Is there anything that Krishna cannot do? Yes, there's one thing which he cannot do. If he decides not to do, he cannot do. If Krishna decides, I can't do this, he cannot do because Krishna has decided. He can't do it. Right? So there is something which Krishna can do. So Krishna decided that I will not be able to convince Yudhishthira Maharaj. Everybody was trying to convince him that no, you don't feel grief stricken. Everybody was counseling him. Everybody was coaching him. Coaching, counseling, mentoring is very, very important, and it is there. Everybody tried. Great souls, Vedavyas, Krishna himself was coaching him. Now Krishna was successful in coaching Arjuna. But here Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, "Nahi jama." Oh, it didn't. I still don't feel. Now Krishna said, "You know what? I have a track record of coaching so many people. Your own brother got coached by me. Now why are you? What is your problem?" Yeah. But Yudhishthira, no, it does. Krishna. So Brij Bihari Prabhu was saying that Krishna, within the heart of Yudhishthira Maharaj, was convinced by Krishna externally, not to get convinced by what he says. Very nice point, right? So if Krishna, within, because both are Krishna's, internal Krishna in the form of the personality sitting in as super soul in our heart, and Krishna externally, that's the facility that Yudhishthira Maharaj had. Krishna was externally present, internally present. But the external Krishna tried, but internal Krishna decided, I won't be convinced. So he didn't get convinced. Why? Krishna had a purpose. Because he wanted to glorify the glorious mentoring of Bhishma Dev. He wanted to have Bhishma Dev get the glory. He wanted Bhishma Dev to do beautiful instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Krishna said, let my instructions become of no value to him. And that's how glorious Krishna is. He's such an amazing, secured personality, right? Krishna is a very secure person. He doesn't feel insecure. What will the world say? Arey, mereko mere se nahi hua. Many times as counselors or mentors, we say, arey, if somebody comes to you and you spend 1 hour of coaching, or counseling, this, Prabhuji, abhi bhi nahi. I said, how can you go? You have to get convinced. I will not leave you till you get convinced. You know, I am a 20-year-old counselor. You better get convinced what I am saying. But nahi ho raha hai, better get convinced. So, you know, you feel attached to the result of your counseling. But Krishna is, I said, no, it doesn't work always. So again, I'm saying it is very, Bhagavatam is so humane. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. It worked for Arjuna, and then the whole Gita was spoken, and Gita is worshipable. But it didn't work for Yudhishthira because something else was the plan. Yudhishthira Maharaj, being the Samrat, he becomes bewildered, very humane. Please, my dear friends, it just makes it so very easy and so very relief-giving when you understand that Krishna consciousness is a very humane process of execution. It is not superhuman. You don't have to be a superman or superhuman. It is very humane. H-U-M-A-N-E. And there's a lot of talking going on there, please. So, there's a lot of talking in the garland making place. Yeah, thank you. So Krishna consciousness is very, very humane. So in this two episode itself, we see how humane Krishna consciousness is. everybody can go through bewilderment. So Yudhishthira Maharaj here, he was made an instrument by Krishna to really feel that grief. Because Krishna wanted to use him to glorify Bhishma Dev. But how do we really translate this in our life? Is it right, my dear friends, to take the blame of everything that is happening around us? Yes or no? Is it right if something happens, you know, I am the cause? If books don't reach in time, if you are a book distributor and you are sending the books from temple to a particular place, and you know books don't reach on time, you are supposed to reach at X time, it doesn't reach on time. I am the cause of it. You know, sometimes we feel that as part of Krishna consciousness, I should take responsibility of everything that is happening. Or rather, not responsibility, to blame ourselves, to get into this crazy idea of self-blame. And we actually feel that this is Krishna consciousness. This is my humility, you know, okay, I'm accepting all the blame. But it doesn't work that way, my dear friends. If something is done wrong, you take the blame. If something is not wrong, is not done by you, you don't take the blame. You say, no, I didn't do it. I was not the cause of it. It's something else. Only Krishna is the cause of all causes and not you. So you can't take the blame of everything as well. Just like the way you can't take the glory of all the activity that you do, you should not and you cannot take the blame of everything that is happening in your life. There are so many people who go through this difficulty of self-blame, depression because of, I am the cause of everything that is happening. Oh, you know, I'm so bad after all. Yeah, it's one thing to really feel humble and feel bad. But if that feeling is making you depressed, is making you feel negative, then it is not healthy Krishna consciousness. It is Maya. It is a trick of the mind. Please understand this. It's a trick of the mind. It is not Krishna consciousness. So we should understand what exactly is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness, for example, is understanding the negativity of the world but not becoming negative. It's a difference. Please understand, you know, I was just thinking that, you know, if you are, what are we trying to do? You are trying to fight against Maya. It's a war against Maya. Very clear. We are fighting a war against Maya and we all are equipped. And safe. Physically speaking, we have our sadhana which acts like an ammunition to really fight against Maya. And we have a gun and we are trying to focus. And we have a particular, you know, we see through the gun and we focus on a particular target. But imagine, everything is there. You have the gun, you have a training to how to use the gun. You are focused on the target. But just imagine if the target gets changed. If what is behind the target becomes your focus. You understand, when you focus and using camera, something which is behind becomes the focus and you it becomes the front thing becomes very blurred. Yeah, are you getting me what I'm saying? So what does the mind do? The mind says, okay, fine, you know, you guys, you are trying to be a nice devotee. Carry on. Feel that you are a nice devotee. But I will change the focus. I will change the focus. So the focus is that the world is full of negativity. There's so much. Kale dosa nide rajan hasti eka mahangona. It's doso ka raja. He's saying, oh king, this Kaliyuga is an ocean of misery. There's unlimited misery. Negativity. But when you say the world is full of misery, what does the mind, the nasty, tricky mind do? That the world is full of misery, the world is full of negativity, it makes you negative. You see the difference? In everything that you do, you become negative oriented. Krishna consciousness is all about positive. Krishna is positive. Krishna is supreme positive. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnash Purnamudachite Purnashya Purnamadaya Purnam Eva Vashishyate. The Krishna is supremely positive. Everything emanating from Krishna is supremely positive. So Krishna consciousness is all about positivity. So many times we find devotees get engulfed by negativity. The world is negative, but it doesn't make then we become negative. You'll understand this further as we give more examples. The Krishna consciousness is all about understanding the sad state of affairs of this world, but we don't have to be pessimistic in the world. Are you getting my? We must understand that the world is a sad place, the sad state of affairs. But if we just become so pessimistic, are you understanding pessimistic? Pessimism is again negative. There's something that's called optimism, pessimism, and realism. So it is very easy, Prabhu, to really be very binary, very easy. To be a negative or to be positive. It is both are very easy. Yes or no. Yes, yes or no is very easy. Correct? Karne ka ki nahi karne ka? Yes or no. But it is very difficult to balance. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. No, bata mereko. Tell me yes or no. But to discern, sometimes yes, sometimes no, balancing between yes and no, very difficult. You agree? Always a challenge. And Krishna says, yukta hara viharasya. Yukta, he uses the word yukta in Bhagavad Gita. What does yukta mean? Yukta means the right quality, the right quantity and mindfulness. Three things. The right quality, the right quantity and mindfulness. So, he's not talking about being binary. Either you sleep or you don't sleep. He didn't say that. It is very easy. If Krishna told us that you sleep as much as you want, it would be very easy. We say you don't sleep at all. Sleeping is Maya. That was very easy. Whoever sleeps is in Maya. But Krishna uses the word yukta ahara viharasya. The right quality, the right quantity. And so that right quality, quantity is always different. So you have to figure out what is your right quality, what is your right quantity, and you have to be mindful about it. So Krishna consciousness is not about being binary, not about being black and white. It's all about various shades of gray. Krishna consciousness is all about hating the sin, but not the sinner. But what do we do? Think about it. Most of the time, when we think about a particular, sin maybe too superlative point, or somebody doing something wrong, we don't hate that thing that he did, but we hate that person. Isn't it? So what did Maya do? What did Maya, in the form of your mind, do? You are supposed to just hate that sin, but it changed the focus and made you start hating the devotee who did that sin. And that is disastrous for Krishna consciousness. Let's take an example of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just come back from South India. A beautiful story. He comes back from South India after 2 years of going all around, and devotees are eager to hear in Jagannath Puri. What did he do? Just like, many of us, when our friend goes to a holy dham, when he comes back or she comes back, we want to sit and tell me what you did. And that person sits and says, I went here, I went this, I did that. So same fervor was there. The devotees, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Gadadhar Pandit, and all the Jagannath Puri devotees were with Kashi Mishra. They were all waiting. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came that same day, the same day they sat, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was telling them everything about the time that he spent in Jagannath, in South India, what he met Ram, and he was glorifying. He was saying, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are the greatest of greatest devotees because you have introduced me to Ramananda Rai. And after explaining the beautiful pastimes of South India, Mahaprabhu Chaitanya himself is explaining to the devotees in a very, very enthusiastic way. I did this, I went there, I found the Brahma Samhita here and this. He was explaining to the devotees. You understand? Again, very humane, right? These are all great devotees. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say, you from your heart will be revealed what I did in South India. No, they sat and they were showing their eagerness to hear. So after the whole thing is over, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, but keep this Kal Krishna Das away from my sight. I don't have anything to do with him. Then he explained the whole story of Kal Krishna Das. how he got attracted to the Bhattaharis, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to go personally to rescue him, catch him by his choti and bring him back. And he brought him back. He tolerated him for the times he did came to Jagannath Puri. But he said, the moment he came back to Puri, he said, I don't want to do anything with this person. Out. Now, please understand. Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the dearmost of dear objects of all these devotees' lives. And a particular person has caused trouble to that person, to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Usually, take an example for our guru. Somebody speaks something bad about our guru. So to show our love for the guru, which we should, there's no harm, you will say, you will hate that person who speaks bad about the guru. Yes? Tell that, you rascal, get law. And then you will do anything. If required, you punch him on his nose, whatever you do. Don't do that. Don't quote me. But with the devotees heard that this Kalkrishna Das was the cause of so much trouble to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So a very, very neophyte reaction to that could have been that they said, we have nothing to do with Kalkrishna Das. He troubled our object of our life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He troubled him. We have nothing to do with this person. On one level, we could do that, yes. Is it right to do that? Because you know CC, that's why I'm saying no. But in one sense, if somebody troubles the person whom you love, you say that, I have nothing to do with you, yaar. What? I don't want to do anything with you because you are troubled my Lord, you are troubled somebody whom I love. But the higher understanding of Vaishnavism is to hate the sin and not the sinner. What did these devotees do, my dear friends? See, it's very easy to hear a story, but seldom do we practice this story in our lives. How many times we have had the same relationship with that devotee who has hurt us? Very difficult. That's where we are supposed to practice, hate the sin and not the sinner. That means your relationship with that person has to be absolutely the same, not even an iota of a difference. But it doesn't happen that way, because we are human beings. That's fine. We are not expected to be like that, but we have to reach that standard. But what does this devotees do? They heard Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they heard how much he was traumatized and troubled by this Kalkrishna Das. But these devotees, they said, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu derided, they had a meeting. This is exactly the word used by Radhana Swami. They had a meeting. And they said, how do we help Kalkrishna Das? They didn't abandon him. They said, no, this person is... They sat and they came out with a solution. They said, we will engage him in service. Now again, very smart, this devotee. They decided that we will send him to Navadvip. Because all the devotees are waiting to hear about Mahaprabhu's pastimes in South India. And he was the one, so he can narrate to Sachi Mata and all the devotees in Navadvip, this beautiful pastime of the Lord in South India. We'll send him there. But they can't send him till they take the permission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can they just send? Mahaprabhu is the boss. So you'll take the permission of the boss. But what did they do? So interesting and so fascinating and so heart-touching. They went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the devotees in Navadvip are eagerly waiting to hear about you, that you, now that you are back. Can we send someone to Navadvip to inform that you are back? What did he say? Can we send someone to Navadvip? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you do whatever you want. I don't care. Work is done. Work is done. See, this is how wonderful devotees are. They will use everything. So devotees are not morons. They are very smart people. They should be smart. They should know the tricks of the trade. Even with dealing with the Lord sometimes. This is not manipulation. This is smartness. There's a difference. So they said, the Lord said, okay, you do whatever you want. So they got permission. They sent Kalkrishna Das to Navadvip. So this is what it is. Krishna consciousness is not about hating the sin, but not the sinner. Krishna consciousness is about practicing celibacy, but not about hating women. Think about it. I mean, just and about men and women, whatever. But usually celibacy is talked about in Brahmacharya ashram. Brahmacharis, males. What does the Maya do? What does his mind do? Okay, you want to be celibate? The whole focus is on celibacy. but the mind changes the focus. From celibacy, you start hating ladies. Where on earth is it mentioned that you have to start hating ladies because they are the cause of your bewilderment? No! But that's what many times it happens. And it's biggest apradh. One of the apradhas. On the guise of being celibate, you start hating. Because, you know, I can be celibate if I start hating the people who cause me trouble. That's your problem, my friend. How can you hate? But that's what the mind is. Are you getting my point? We are understanding how the mind is operating. The operating system of the mind is very important to decode it. Krishna consciousness is about practicing self-induced poverty. We have to practice poverty. And when I say poverty, it's not that we have to become poor. I hope you don't take me wrong. But to practice simplicity, right? We say Krishna consciousness is simple living, high thinking. So Krishna consciousness is about practicing simplicity or self-induced poverty, but not about hating the rich. But what do? As a rich log and as a phaltu log. I mean, where in the Shastra it is mentioned that richness is useless? But the trick of the mind is just hate them. Krishna consciousness is about associating with devotees and not about hating the non-devotees. Yes? Where is it written that you hate devotees? Okay, it is written that asasanga tyaga yahi vaishnav achar. Chatamabu sir, who is a devotee? Asasanga tyaga yahi vaishnav achar. You don't associate with them. But where, in which scripture it is written, please let me know. I would like to change my opinion. That you hate non-devotees. You hate them. No. All scriptures talk about compassion, love. Yesterday we heard the class, three things that garland maker from Mathura asked to Lord Krishna. One of it is, you know, compassion for everybody in the world. But what happens? We just love devotees. Again, very binary. I love devotees and I hate non-devotees. Very easy to be binary. Right? But Krishna consciousness is not about being binary. Krishna consciousness is about balancing. Krishna consciousness is not about relationship with each other. It's about relationship with each other, but not demeaning or undermining the importance of management. Many times we just say, you know, relationship is very important. And this management and all this is useless. What is this management? I don't want to be a manager. I want to be a loving devotee. Again, a subtle difference. We start hating management. We start hating manager. We start passing comments. Oh, this management is all useless. Why should we have management? Are you getting the point? Krishna consciousness is about being detached, but not cruel. You agree? We are detached. I'm detached from my wife. You are supposed to be detached. No, not possible. But try it. Or I'm supposed to be detached from anything that is there. I'm not supposed to be attached. But that does not mean that you need to be cruel. Many times detachment manifests in the form of cruelty. So again, the only reason I'm just giving different scenarios, my dear friends, is just to show how the operating system of the mind works, how it is bewildering us and making us focus on something which is completely against the principle of Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is about preparing for death, but not being paranoid about death. You prepare for that, and in our shastras, I remember the first time I came to Krishna, I mean the first lecture. Okay, please understand, this was the first lecture of my life. I'm sitting. And the speaker says, all of you in the room are going to die in 7 days. You know, what happens when you come first time, you know, to a class and somebody says that you all in this room, you know, that means if I was not in the room, I would not die. But he said, everybody in the room is going to die in 7 days. Then he explained. Thank God he explained. He explained that you are going to die either on a Monday or a Tuesday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday or a Sunday. I said, thank God. But he said, which Monday, which Tuesday, we don't know. I said, okay, I know. That time I said, it's going to be still a long time. But the point is, we all know that death can happen any time. We hear it in our shastras, right? We can, padam padam vyadvi padam natesham. But, so we should be prepared for that, but we should not be paranoid that I'm going to die. Otherwise, how can you live? Can you live life if you are constantly paranoid? If I sit here, and, you know, I'm constantly just fearful. Can you live life like that? But that's what paranoia is all about. You are just paranoid about dying. That means you step out. If I step out, this rickshaw will hit me. But that's what Krishna consciousness. Can you be Krishna conscious if you are paranoid? But so what does the mind do? It just tricks you. That you should prepare for that, but it makes you paranoid about that. And then you cannot focus on Krishna, not focus on anything. And then Krishna consciousness is not about hating Maya, but about loving Krishna. You know, many a times, you know, devotees in their talks, the whole talk is filled with how Maya is so terrible. It's a Maya, how this money is Maya, how beauty is Maya, and all these things is loaded with all this Maya, 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 Maya. But is our philosophy to hate Maya only? Is that the philosophy? What is our philosophy? To love Krishna. But the whole focus sometimes becomes to just be negatively Maya conscious, to hate Maya. Again, change of focus. How the focus is changed. It's not about being knowing the world that this world is Dukhera Sagar. We have the Dukhera Sagar. We have a beautiful bhajan. That it's not that we feel that this world is a whole dukhe sagore. It's an ocean of dukh. But it's all about hankering to swim in the oceanic bliss of Krishna consciousness. That's what we are about. So the point is, Prabhus, that if you are constantly focusing on negativity, so Yudhishthir Maharaj, the reason we are discussing is Yudhishthir Maharaj says, I am to be blamed for everything that happens. And that was right from his point of view. Because, you know, there was a higher purpose to be achieved from that, as we explained already. But Krishna consciousness is not about just being negative. Krishna consciousness is all about being positive in Krishna consciousness. We have to attract Krishna's positivity. And if you don't do that, and I'm sure many of us experience with people, you know, I went to one place and I said, Prabhu, how are you? This is the early days of Krishna consciousness. How are you? Because I was focusing on the principle of chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So I said, abhi isme khush rehne ka bhakti mein. Be happy. That's what this purpose of life is, to be chanting Hare Krishna and be happy. So you meet a devotee and he said, Prabhu, how are you? Jiraun. You don't get vibes of being happy from such things, right? Struggling. Yes, we are struggling. But when you meet somebody, you say, Prabhuji, how are you? Prabhuji is struggling. I mean, I'm not saying it is a wrong answer. But that's not the focus of life, right? The focus of love is not to struggle. The focus is to love Krishna. But we become so overwhelmed by just the struggling principle that you forget that you're supposed to love Krishna. So when we are experiencing such binariness, I don't know whether there's a word called binariness, but whatever, that's only just binary way of living, one or two, then you cannot be Krishna conscious. So the art of Krishna consciousness is all about the art of balancing. Understand the principle, take the principle in with you, and balance it in your own lives. That's Krishna consciousness. So it will be wrong on our part to really learn from this verse that Yudhishthira Maharaj is taking the blame of everything. So that means, you know, we should take the blame of everything that happens in our life. I'm sure none of you are doing that, but it'll be wrong. But we have to understand the principle of why he is doing what he is doing. And then take the principle and apply it in our lives. So, the next portion that that we wanted to really focus upon is the aspect of, I mean, this world, at the current situation that we all are going through, it is an unprecedented situation, right? None of us, even people of the over spent 60, 70, 80 years of life, even they say that what's happening in the last 2 years is unprecedented. You agree, Vishwabhanu Prabhu? It is absolutely unprecedented. And one thing that is heavily present amongst all of us, and I'm sure all of us will agree, is this principle of extreme grief that we all are going through. Grief. Right? That every single person has some reason or the other to be grief-stricken because of loss of someone very close to him or her. Yes? You agree? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes? Especially, and this was not the case, 2 years back. You all agree? It is completely different now. Things have changed. And that is why I felt that it would be nice to really understand how to deal with grief. Because grief is such a negative, usurping quality. It just usurps our existence. And a person who is in grief gets so usurped in that grief that he or she may not be able to come out of that grief for maybe many years sometimes. Or maybe not even come out ever in her or his life. Because they are just so grief-stricken. You agree? You have seen people like that? And then as devotees, this whole principle of Keval Ananda Kand is a joyful process. Where is that process gone? If we become grief-stricken, and there is reason to be grief-stricken, but how do you really manage grief is a very important thing. So there's something what is called bereavement management in what we talk about in hospices. People train where people are dealing with dying people. There's a training given called bereavement management because there's a whole system how relatives who have lost their near and dear ones, how will they be dealt with? Bereavement. They experience what is called bereavement. And how to really do bereavement management. Similarly, grief management. So, I was just trying to understand that. And if you all agree, we will spend little time in discussing that. It will be very, very useful. So, when we go through a... And not this grief is not only about losing someone. Usually, it's the extreme grief is caused because you lose someone that you love. Somebody has died. But many times, this grief is caused by many other things. You lose a job, or you really have a very, very... a sour relationship on someone that you really loved. You understand? You're going through a whole process of separation in maybe your marriage or whatever. You become grief-stricken. Right? So Krishna consciousness is not that you just say, forget the grief. Just cover the grief with the happiness of Krishna consciousness and just accidentally just show, Hari Bol Prabhu, I'm fine. Can you be like that artificially? You can try to be artificial there, but again, it's just that thing just comes out. For example, you know, if you are bleeding, you can cover with cotton and you say, there's no blood. After some time, you will see a red spot. You know you are bleeding. Yes? You can't cover something which is inside. You can't cover it. Again, what I said, what we discussed at the beginning, you have to learn to deal with it. How to deal with grief. So, when you have a situation or scenario that you have gone through a grief situation, when you go through that phase, it is not that you have to be the same as you were before the grief. That's not Krishna consciousness. Many times we sort of misunderstand that, you know, I need to be back to the way I was. You can never be back the way you were before the grief period and after the grief period. It's a hypothetical situation. How can, if you have lost somebody very near to you, how can you ever be the same again? Practically, is it possible? Humanly, is it possible? Not possible. So Krishna consciousness is not telling you, or rather, Krishna consciousness is not about just being the same what you were before the grief period. That means something like what we call, go to that level. I mean, computers, you sometimes go to the to a situation. What is it called? Anyway. So it's not that we are trying to again be back to the same situation as we were before the grief. You will experience the grief, but you will be a different person, but in a positive way. So what I'm saying, the reality is that you will grieve forever. You will not get over the loss of a loved one. You will learn to live with it. You will heal and you will rebuild yourself around the loss you have suffered. You will be a whole new person again, but you will never be the same. Nor should you want to be the same. We are not wanting to be the same also, but you are being a different person. So when somebody goes through a grief period, Prabhu, the initial response, there is a whole beautiful, situations that we go through. And when there is a grief situation, whatever the situation is, the first response to that grief usually is shock and denial. Please understand, we are talking about human emotions. You know, even Arjun, the great Arjun who heard the Bhagavad Gita, when he saw Abhimanyu, his body, he was shocked. And if you read the Mahabharata, he said, "This can't be! This can't be! Are you alive? Abhimanyu, please wake up! Please come and talk to me!" He was not able to accept. He was in what we call a shock and a phase of denial. He said, "This can't be." Right? So reality hits you hard. I mean, again, I'm saying, okay, you can take the example of somebody who's died. But it could be many other scenarios as well of grief. Reality hits you hard and you are unwilling to really accept the loss. So you are in a first state is you are in shock and denial. The first response, shock and denial. And this will be plotted against the time factor. So we are drawing of a graph against the time factor. So first response is shock and denial. The next response, Prabhu, is usually we go through a lot of pain and guilt. Now, again, we take an example of Arjun. Arjun, what he said, "I wish I didn't go get carried away by when I was fighting these two brothers." Right? What are the name of the brothers? No. Two brothers who attracted Arjun to really go on one side when there was two brothers. Anyway. So Arjun, I say, "I wish I was not attracted to this fighting with them because I wish I knew that they had a plot to have this whole Chakravyuha." You know the name? Trigat? Yeah, the two brothers from the Trigat Naresh or whatever, Trigat province. They were two brothers. And they were given the task by the Kauravas that you just allure Arjuna to go far and far and far into the... Because he knew how to break the Chakravyuha. If he was there, they couldn't do it. So Arjuna and Krishna went far. And believe me, my dear friends, Krishna allowed this. He knew it. Krishna was simply an observer. He was just tick, 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 tick. He was just driving and he went far and far. So the first response, Arjuna said, "I wish I didn't do it." So that's why the pain and guilt, it hits you. The next thing, against time factor, next as we go further, there's pain and guilt. "I wish I could do something for this person. I wish I could have saved him. I wish I could have given a better treatment. I wish this and I wish that." You go through that. No problem. It is natural that we go through it. Feeling guilty, feeling pain is natural. And then comes a phase of anger and bargaining. And please understand, we have again. So then you start, what happened to Arjun? Who did this? So he went through this whole phase of shock and denial. And then guilt. And then anger. Of course, Kshatriya. So he could use that anger in Krishna's service. But for many of us, that anger is not conducive in Krishna service. So Arjuna said, who did it? And they explained Jayadrath. I said, I take a vow. Out of his anger, he said it. And he took a vow that I'm going to kill him. So the next response to grief is that you want to be angry to the person who has caused the grief. And then you start bargaining. Please, the mind is thinking, right? Constantly thinking. The mind is, or our body is, or our consciousness is having a constant system of how to deal with this. So that dealing part is what's constantly going on. There's that dealing going on. So first shock, and then you deal with it. So then you bargain. Said, maybe, I'll learn to live with it over time. So you were saying you were bargaining. Oh, you lost a job. Maybe I'll get a better job. So again, you're bargaining. Are you getting my point? Mind is helping you now. So you are coming from this level, you're going down, guilt. But if you remain here, then you are going to be sucked into the quicksand of guilt. Quicksand of grief. You have to bounce back. And then comes the phase of reflection. And that is where, as devotees, my dear friends, the phase of reflection, the fourth stage, is where we take the help of devotees. We reflect, we take the help of devotees, we associate with devotees, we take guidance from devotees, we take guidance from people who can help us to show us the real picture, to show us the bright picture, to show us that how we can really go through it. And that is required to be done. It will be completely wrong for us to think that we can overcome our grief or overcome any situation in our life without the help of devotees. It is an illusion. Krishna does not allow it that way. So Krishna, Yudhishthira Maharaj had to meet Bhishma Dev. And he had to hear from Bhishma Dev to take a humble disposition and say, please Bhishma Dev, guide me. And when Bhishma Dev told him, he was able to understand this way things, the way things as it is, the way they are, and not the way that he thought they are. So from that guilt, from guilt and anger and bargaining, we come to a phase of reflection. And that's a very important quality in a devotee. He must reflect back. Why is this happening? And how I can overcome this? And you cannot help yourself in this situation. And at this phase, I refer to all the phases, but this phase all the more is the time where we take guidance of devotees, we take shelter of the devotees. And that's the whole idea of community living. That we take advantage of the community. And how community helps us to really come back. So many examples of grief in our shastras, actually. I was just thinking, one, what must be the situation of Vishnu Priya Devi, the wife of Lord Chaitanya, when he took sannyas? I mean, Mahabhu Chaitanya did the greatest of greatest things and he is glorified as the greatest sannyasi. But the one person, or two people for that matter, were really, really heavily, heavily affected are his mother and his wife. The world is saying Jai Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the greatest sannyasi. But for them it was their life was never the same again. It was complete grief situation. But Sachi Mata could survive that situation because she was staying in the community of Vaishnavas. Advaita Acharya was constantly figuring out how I can engage Sachi Mata in the Lord's service. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole reason why they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are lied, Nityananda Prabhu lied to him that you are going to Vrindavan, but actually got him to Nodweep, is to really make him meet Sachi Mata. That's the whole purpose. So, because it was a community living, Sachi Mata, not much is known about Vishnu Priya Devi. Because the way our culture is that we don't talk about the wife of a sannyasi, so what happened. But I'm sure we know that she actually took complete shelter of the Lord's holy names and Lord told him to take shelter and she was chanting Hare Krishna and she would take one rice aside and took complete shelter of the Lord and I'm sure she was in touch with so many Vaishnavas and they were all helping her. But This is reflection. And then when you get that help, can you imagine the grief that Draupadi went through when she was disrobed? The grief that she went through when her 5 sons had died. You know, so there is no dearth of instances of intense grief. Arjun went through the grief. Yudhishthira Maharaj is going through the grief right now. The grief that Srila Prabhupada's disciples must have experienced when Srila Prabhupada left his body. What sort of intense grief? What grief various disciples have experienced when they are respected spiritual masters, and for that matter, all of us have experienced the grief of losing some of the very, very senior leaders of our society. But we all have to live our life. We bounce back. Our life will never be the same again. Our life will never be the same after the loss of Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj. We can never. It is finished. That portion of our life is finished. We have lost him forever. Our life will never be the same. Now that we have lost Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, we can never have a person of his caliber, of the type of preacher that he was. It's gone. It's finished. It's over. We cannot say we're going to be back the way we were. It's different. But we learn to stay with it. Why? Because we have a sangam of devotees. And I would like to just end. Okay, so basically there's a whole stages that we all go through. And unless and until you take the shelter of devotees, you will remain in the negative quadrant. You will not come up. So the graph looks like this. You go down, bargaining, guilt. But then at some point you are reflecting, and then from there you go up and you see positive. Okay, why Krishna did, we don't know. I will discuss it with Madhavendra Puri Prabhu. Right? Most of the time, we don't understand why Krishna does most of the things. Because the fact is, if you start understanding what he does, then how is he God? You know, if you understand what he does, then you are also God, right? But you know, obviously you don't understand what he does, so you don't understand. So Krishna does so many things which you don't understand. And we have to accept that fact. And one of the most classical examples of grief, I'd like to end here, and we can make this as a case study. Most classic example is when the son of Sivas Thakur died. Brilliant example. So here is a scenario. You know, the Lord and all the devotees, and the greatest, the most special devotees who were there at Navadvip were only allowed to be at Sivas Angan. And the Lord was chanting and dancing. Very special kirtan. And then Sivas Thakur, he is the owner of the house, he hears some crying, he goes inside. And then he asks, why is they crying? Please understand, you know, don't just hear the story as it is. Please go through that character of Sivas Thakur. Sivas Thakur is asking, why are you crying? And he's been told that his dear son has suddenly passed away. And we just say the story, you know, it was told, they then pass away. But there's a whole heavy emotion attached to it, man. It is a sudden pass. It's not that he was sick or something. He passed away for whatever reason. Sivas Thakur, the immediate reaction to it. Please understand, as a devotee, you know, the stages are sometimes too short. It is just few seconds. That stage could be a few years. From shock to denial and denial to reflection. Sometimes the stage can be a few seconds and it just bounces back. So Sivas Thakur obviously assimilated the whole information, processed the whole information, and then he responded in a matter of seconds. He said, Sivas Thakur told that their son was most fortunate because he passed away when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Person of the Godhead, was performing Naam Sankirtan in their homes. Their son was definitely returned to the spiritual world. This was the immediate response of Sivas Thakur. And the next response is, Sivas Thakur further told that if they continue crying and disturb the Lord's dancing, he said, "You please be silent. If you disturb the Lord's dancing, then I will end my life." And then he went back to the kirtan. Now, honestly, okay, don't think that he is Sivas Thakur. Don't think he is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you heard this particular scenario, Krishna Prabhu, if you have a scenario, a person comes, he said, "Agar roega, तो मैं भी खुद जान दे दूंगा. एंड ही गोज बैक, व्हाट डू यू टर्म दिस एज? वेरी हार्ड हार्टेड, राइट? आई से व्हाट इज ही टॉकिंग? यस यस नो, अरे बोलो, कुछ नो प्रॉब्लम, नथिंग रॉन्ग. It is not hard-hearted, so don't worry. But it appears to be very hard-hearted. He said, if you cry, if you want to cry, you cry softly. And he went back. The sound somewhat rude and insensitive. But then, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing, then he said, I'm not experiencing the bliss that I used to experience. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself was feeling, he felt. And Sri Sagar said smiling, my dear Lord, when the beautiful moon like your face smiling in bliss and you're dancing in my house, there cannot be anything but happiness. So this is a very, very elevated stage of Shivas Thakur. He had already crossed the reflective stage years behind. He knew. He was reflected and he very knew. When the Lord is, whatever the Lord does is perfect and complete. There's nothing wrong. Everything emanating from Krishna is perfect and complete. He knew it. He didn't have to go through the stage of this because he was already a realized soul. But we are not. So we can't be like this. And if we be like this, we'll be hard-hearted and insensitive. Because it will simply be an act. It is not real. So then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told, Shiva Thakur didn't say it. You know, everything is fine. But devotees told him that Shivas Thakur's son has died. And here comes the sensitive behavior of the supreme sannyasi who had actually given up his family, but he felt intense sensitivity of his own devotee's son dying, and he said this, how could I possibly give up the associate of such a devotee who does not know any sorrow in this world, even to the extent of the death of his own son, just to make me happy? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, how is it possible? So he was feeling grief. Now, the supreme source of all happiness is feeling grief and he is shocked. He is feeling shocked. Usually, Shiva Thakur feels shock and denial. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is feeling shocked. So how is it possible? Just to please me, and just to see me happy, he's not even, he's just, how? And then he says, the first time he says, how can I give up the association of such devotees? And the devotees were wondering, why? What are you talking? Give up ka baat karo? What happened? But that was the day, first time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed in a very, very cryptic way his desire to take sannyas. He was thinking already in his mind. So how can I give up the association? Because he knew in due course they're going to give up the association of such devotees like Shivas Thakur. And he will obviously not be staying in Navadvip. So the devotees, so Mahaprabhu Chaitanya's behavior is very, very, very sensitive. And of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes back and he revives the son. They talk. That's not the main theme of the discussion today. He talk and the son says, I will die. And then he dies. He leaves his body and he again falls back. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so this is the reward. When you rightly accept a particular situation in your life and you see Krishna's hand and you bounce back, Krishna gives you a reward. And what was the reward? Anybody knows? That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Shivas Thakur? Because of his super fabulous Vaishnava behavior. Just to please the Lord, he said, because of unconditional love, myself and Nityan Prabhu are eternally your sons. That's the reward you get. The reward he got was that for eternally, please. And this statement is not just a casual statement. We say, "Arey, I'm your son, Mataji." I mean, we may not be actually meaning, but when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that, he actually means it. He said, from now on, myself and Nityan Prabhu are eternally your sons. You are not lost your son. That is, and what, you know, what a glorious position to have Nityan Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as your son. That was the glorious position of Shivas Thakur, and that was the gift that Shivas Thakur got. So please, my dear friends, let us all understand. I'm sorry, I'm going a little over time. So let us all understand that Krishna consciousness is basically all about the bliss of serving Krishna. But in the process of getting the bliss, we all have to go through dealing with various emotions and various grief situations. But if constantly our focus is the association of devotees, service of devotees, taking shelter of the holy name, taking shelter of the Lord's, the Guru's instructions, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichita Koryo Akya Arana Koryo Mane Asha, if that is the focus of our life, then no doubt we will experience the difficulties of this world, because this world is a difficult place. If Arjun and Yudhishthir Maharaj were not able to really overcome, then what are we? We will go through that grief situation, but we will be able to overcome that situation, and we will be able to really live through that situation, and we will be able to become a source of pleasure to the Lord and a source of pleasure to His devotees, having gone through the situation. So let us not be in a phantasmagoria world, in a utopic world, that there won't be any grief in my life, or there won't be any problems in my life, because grief is intrinsic nature of this world. It is intrinsic. It is the very nature. It's an intrinsic quality. We will go through that situation. But knowing that, if we go through the whole understanding that Krishna consciousness is a beautiful process, and let us find our great bliss and fortune in being connected to the most wonderful process of executing Krishna consciousness. That is our bliss. And that cannot be taken away at any cost. One of the senior devotees was asked, I'll end with that if the worst of a situation happens in your life, what do you think? And he replied, that even the worst situation happens in my life, I still know that Krishna is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Radharani is still the Queen of Vrindavan. And Krishna is still present in the holy names. This will never change. And that is our bliss. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna. We will not take any questions because already late. So, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki. Yeah. So, now only?
Hare Krishna. Request everyone to please be seated for a while. हरे कृष्णा हम सभी भक्ति शास्त्री जिन्होंने भक्ति शास्त्री पूरा किया 1900 ये भक्ति शास्त्री 2019 और 20 के बीच में हुआ था तो मैं भक्ति वेदांत एकेडमी और कल्चर एंड एजुकेशन की तरफ से सभी भक्तों को बधाई देना चाहूंगा जिन्होंने सफलतापूर्वक भक्ति शास्त्री कोर्स को कंप्लीट किया ये कोर्स 2019 और 2020 के बीच में श्रीमान श्यामचरण प्रू के अध्यापन में एवं नेतृत्व में पूरा किया गया इस समय मैं श्रीमान श्रीरामा प्रभु को आमंत्रित करूंगा ताकि वो सारे सभी प्रतिभागियों को सर्टिफिकेट्स बांटे तो जैसे मैं एक एक करके नाम लूंगा मैं अनुरोध करता हूं सारे प्रतिभागी एक एक करके आके श्रीमान श्रीरामा प्रभु से सर्टिफिकेट्स लें तो दोनों ही देंगे श्रीमान विश्वभानु प्रभु भी देंगे और श्रीमान श्रीरामा प्रभु दोनों ही वितरण करेंगे ये हमारा सौभाग्य है
प्रभु इज अ पीएचडी स्कॉलर सो टू भक्ति शास्त्री ही शुड गिव बेटर आई एम अ इलिटरेट इन फ्रंट ऑफ हिम सो आई थिंक इट्स बेटर
तो हमारा सौभाग्य है कि आज दोनों ही उपस्थित है हमारे सामने श्रीमान श्रीरामा प्रभु और श्रीमान विश्वभानु प्रभु तो मैं एक एक करके नाम लूंगा और सारे भक्तों से निवेदन है कि वो बैठे रहें और जितने भक्त हैं उनको प्रोत्साहित करें तालियां बजा के जैसे वो एक एक करके वो आते रहें हरे कृष्ण तो सबसे पहले मैं आमंत्रित करना चाहूंगा भारती दिनेश गांधवी प्रभु को हरे कृष्ण भारती दिनेश गांधवी प्रभु उपस्थित हैं वो
भारती दिनेश
हरे कृष्ण कविता रानी दास प्रभु करुणिका देवीदासी माताजी, करुणिका देवीदासी माताजी कृपा करके आगे आए और सर्टिफिकेट में। पद्मिनी राधा देवी दासी माताजी, प्रेम प्रद्यानी देवी दासी माताजी, पुष्पा शर्मा माताजी, रघुनाथ मिश्रा प्रभु, रजनी व्यास प्रभु, रजनी व्यास माताजी, राम बाबू शर्मा प्रभु, संजीवनी मुकेश पिल्लई प्रभु, नॉट प्रेजेंट, उद्धव संदेश प्रभु, उद्धव संदेश प्रभु, उषा अशोक सिंह प्रभु, वैशाली विठल होलमुखे माताजी, डॉक्टर विभा गुप्ता प्रभु, डॉक्टर विभा गुप्ता माताजी, ओके फाइन, वीरेंद्र कुमार कृष्ण तिवारी प्रभु, चेतन संजय शर्मा प्रभु, चेतन संजय शर्मा प्रभु, किशोर पुरोहित प्रभु, मंजू किशोर पुरोहित माताजी, संजय प्रभु, ठीक है, तो हम धन्यवाद देना चाहेंगे श्रीमान श्रीदामा प्रभु एवं ऋषभानु प्रभु का धन्यवाद। हरे कृष्ण।
हरे राम, हरे राम, राम राम, हरे कृष्णा, हरे कृष्णा, कृष्णा कृष्णा, हरे हरे, हरे राम।